get some. Gotta be organic or you get none. Wear my bear's gear, calling out the trolls. I used to be with small, but now I run with poles. In a can, it's always in a bag. Well, you're not Canadian. Sometimes then it's a maple sugar sweet Canadian organically. White jersey, go crazy little woman in a three-man show. Show flow, plan a highlight, Tron and air. Breaking crazy news with my big curly hair. Curly hair.
Boom.
Curly hair. BG, BG. Milk in a bottle, milk in a can. It's always in the back, but you're not Canadian. Stone Tom, anytime, maple sugar sweet. Canadian organically.
You're listening to the Beers Barroom Radio Network, and the following program is intended for all audiences.
Trubisky, big rush, throws to the end zone for Deion Sims. He's got it for a touchdown.
Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy.
Coming hard every Monday night, Central 10 East.
Giving out prescriptions for the Bears fan with a Bear disease.
Jumping in the chat room with a bar fight, bringing knowledge. This show's an honors course if Bears football was a college.
Bears Girl's a moderator, Dr. Phil is the host. Throwing dimes through the window from the open to the post. Talking live on the air, that's known for my devotion. First name Phil, my last Atoshin. Ask for Phil on Twitter, bringing truth, hold in touch. I'm riding foreign country, singing O Canada. BHL, floor on top, like saliva does backwash. I take this back to high school to take a football back course.
Guests on the show,
speak the serum of the truth.
365, Bears talk in the bar. Analyzing everyone, a little 7-7. Drop.
No doubt how it's elite, cause we never flip-flop.
Bears
Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and Bears draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and this draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk.
breaking down the film, not a problem, get it straight. Other blogs focus on stats, we focus on the tape. They're down or up, BG's maple syrup. Bears Barroom Worldwide, you never know who'll show up. Marvel flipping pages, the barroom's making shows. Sometimes we get the man without his head in pantyhose.
Call HR, the show's about to start.
And while you're at it, stick that barroom sticker on your car. Monday through Friday, the barroom's got you covered. Play your gel, place your tags, cause Fuller's got you smothered.
Draft
Dr. Phil, it's always hit sticks. Splitting double teams like 96 Akeem Hicks. Keep throwing, Mitchell keeps throwing. Dimes on time and in the window we's blowing. Don't deny it that this show is a collaboration with a fan.
Bears girl moderated,
Dr. Phil is the man. Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy.
Dumped again, Akeem Hicks.
The show where we always bring the truth.
Jackson, touchdown Bears!
Trubisky to the 42-yard line! Oh my goodness!
Howard left side, to the 10, to the 5, game over!
Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy.
Bears Hour Live.
Playing too fast at times at Iowa?
Yeah, on occasion, but like the way our offense, like we're not fast-paced offense, but like the way we like run the ball and like attack people, it's all built off speed and pace. And so sometimes, because I'm a good athlete, and so sometimes I did feel myself playing faster than like my other linemen around me were playing.
James, do you feel like you have to get bigger to play guard?
No, I feel good now, but if the coaches want me bigger, I mean, I can get bigger. If they want me smaller, I can get smaller.
Was any lineman that you looked at and said, that's the way I want to play or that's how I play?
One person I really appreciate was Jason Kelce from the Eagles because he's an undersized guy. I mean, he's way smaller than me, but just like the way how his technique, he has to be perfect in his technique or he's going to get beat just because he's not big enough and or strong enough. And just like the way he plays, especially in pass protection, the way he shoots his hands is probably the best in the NFL. And so I really appreciate the way how he plays.
Hello, Bears fans. This is Bears Hour Live with Draft Dr. Phil. You just heard James Daniel addressing the media at Hallett Hall 10 days ago prior to the start of the Bears OTAs. Daniels is one of the players we'll talk about shortly with our special guest, Kent Platty, at Math Bomb. We're going to talk about all of the rookies and their relative athletic scores with Kent, and of course, answer our barfly questions they've submitted on Twitter with the hashtag AskBHL. Let's start this show like we do every week with your opening rant, Phil. And I'm glad it's your rant and not mine, because it's taken me a few hours to get into the right friendly Canadian headspace for this PG-13 show tonight. What's on your mind, Doc?
I'm glad we started with a little Canadian bag milk to get the flavor going. Some makeup.
Oh, yeah.
Really captured the essence of the evening. I mean, really got me in the mood, I'll tell you that right now. I know the love couple behind the scenes was in turmoil. There's drama, rudeness, there's construing lines. It's been a crazy day, but I am fired up that I'm on the show and I could talk about what really matters most, and that's Chicago Bears football. And right now, BG, guys are in shorts, guys are running around, everyone's got their theories and their conspiracies, and really ultimately, you know, there's nowhere to hide when you watch the tape. So a lot of this back and forth trolling, stat mongering and all this other stuff has really got me to the root of the problem. The heartbeat of the Chicago Bears is Mitchell Trubisky, who And I really wanted to put a spotlight on him because I put up a video, a couple videos this week for Bears Barroom just to bring football back into the equation because it's never off my mind. I don't watch any other sports, you know, religiously like I do football. So now I'm just grinding tape backwards and really focusing on Adrian Amos and Mitchell Trubisky. And a little bit of Hakeem Hicks I put out there as well. But focusing on Mitchell Trubisky, the tape tells a story. And the stats don't. So the national media for Barflies are going to hear talk about a double talk, really, about a young quarterback. Is he going to fit? Is he going to do this? Is he? All these questions going on. So I'm here to tell you, you can't have this both ways. And what I mean by that, when I look at the tape, I see accuracy. I see growth. I see confidence. I see tremendous awareness and anticipation throws. I see a young quarterback leading an NFL football team despite its coaching staff and despite the surrounding talent. And that doesn't mean that he didn't have talent out there, but let's be honest, you can't have it both ways, as I said. Highlight that, BG, with one of those highlighters, because the Chicago media are going to tell you, and I've heard it continuously on numerous podcasts, that, well, you know, we'll see. No, there's nothing to see. The reality is the kid proved the naysayers wrong driving in a Fiat last year. He's in the race. It's so impressive on tape what he's able to accomplish despite it all that having a Lamborghini now at his disposal and Coach Nagy is going to be an extreme difference. And on that Lamborghini, he's got some new weaponry. He's got Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Trey Burton. He's got Anthony Miller as a rookie. He's got Javon Wims coming into the equation. He's got Tariq Cohen going to be used appropriately. This kind of story begins last year. And why does it begin last year? It's because on tape, the statistics are going to lie to you on a Sunday, Monday morning. They're not going to tell you what he had to endure and what he was faced and what was called and how conservative it was. It's not going to tell you that. So when I put up a 2-minute drill against the Detroit Lions, which Mitchell Trubisky lost, the Pro Football Talk and ESPN and everybody else who, oh, we checked the score, Bears lost, it isn't going to tell you the story of where the ground roots are made for the quarterback. His learning was under fire, and he drove a football team down the field against a division foe that we haven't beat, mind you. Let's look at that. You haven't beat them in 7 tries, I believe. It's embarrassing at this point. But he brings you down there, and the kicker misses the field goal. And the story is all close but doesn't count. Now, we look back on it. Good thing for the Bears. You got a better pick than ultimately got you Roquan Smith. But ultimately, the stat doesn't match the effort. On 4th-and-13, rusher comes inside, he scrambles, spins, steps up in the pocket, runs for a first down, continuing to drive. The next play, he strikes a dime on time to Inman to get you in field goal range. The kid was growing before your eyes. Now, when I say coaching matters, there's no bias there, but there's no aggressiveness. There's no understanding of situational football. I know Shane Marshall was going back and forth all weekend, for God's sake, with somebody talking about defending Fox and Dowell Loggins. Let me tell you, there's a lot of shoe salesmen in the NFL. There's a lot of friends and old boy networks hiring guys that don't know what they're doing. Anybody telling me that what you saw last year was NFL football, please. I don't have the time to debate you because it's just utterly undebatable. It's stupid. I'm calling out plays as well as opponents to what it is Mitchell was facing. And how does that rain down on the talent surrounding Mitchell? Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard. You can't have it both ways, BG. Highlighted again. Jordan Howard facing 11 in the box. Oh, Jordan Howard facing 9 and 10 in the box. He's not elite. He didn't catch every ball. He's got to catch everything. For some reason, players are held to some extreme different standard. If Jordan Howard was a Detroit Lion, probably in the playoffs winning games. He's a difference maker because when a linebacker comes up to tackle him at 240 pounds, him being 230 runs right through him with athleticism. We overlook that. Not we as in us, but we as the fan base, as the national media, as we've been debating, is he elite? Yes, he's elite. I've strapped the helmet on. I'm telling you now. 9 in the box. Check out of that. One-on-one situations, throw the ball. Didn't happen. Whether they trusted Mitchell Trubisky or not, you know the stooges that were running it. It's not a game or a joke. This isn't just being fans talking that. This is a lot of time, effort, and energy put in to watching tape. You want me to go up on a blackboard or whiteboard and start drawing this stuff up for you to recognize why the Bears aren't successful? Stats are going to lie. They always will. What was the great quote? 99% of stats, 49% of them are real. Tonight, we're going to have a special guest in Kent Platy, who I've been begging to have on, because in his statistics is breaking down draft talent, athleticism, not the statistic of how many yards or how many incompletions to one side of the football field or how far the ball traveled or how fast. None of that stuff matters when I'm looking at Mitchell Trubisky. I'm telling you, the perfect fit and the perfect storm has occurred to help an Adam Shaheen, to help a Tariq Cohen, and to help a Jordan Howard. Is Mitchell Trubisky getting the free rein to check, to use his talents that are appropriate to him, athleticism, accuracy, and anticipation, and get these new weapons involved in Allen Robinson and so forth? So to count the Bears out right now is hysterical to me. Whatever the spread is for opening night, bet the Bears. I'm no Mike North, but I'm telling you, bet them now. Because by the third preseason game, the narrative is going to change like it always does, the hot teams. Right now, I see Fitz and Mitchell is making Matt Nagy smile. You know, they're talking about Tariq Cohen making him giddy. He should, because he's so talented. He should have been on the field so much last year. But it's only going to make Mitchell better. And when Mitchell's hamstrung and to put on the performance that I see on tape of what an NFL quarterback needs to be and should be, that is making me excited. That is making me excited as a coach that I know that this young man's going to be given the free rein to use his talents appropriately to help the Chicago Bears do a 180. Not since the days of Ditka, as Aldo said on Bears on Tap, have you felt the difference in a football coach. Not since the days of, no, I can't even remember, the days of yesteryear, the T formation. Did something come to Chicago that's going to be aggressive? Or maybe the 46 defense will be the last time you thought of something aggressive and different coming to Chicago that you haven't seen before. And this is the perfect storm for Mitchell Trubisky and his talent surrounding him. So I am fired up for it, and I'm fired up for who we have on the show tonight, who I've been praising throughout all of draft season, as Aldo can attest, that I just so appreciate BG, our guest. And if you want to just introduce him and give us a little heads up of who he is.
I will do that. He has joined us. But before we get to Kent, I want to read just a couple of comments from our live listeners. So Merck3091 is saying Trubisky will have a hell of a year. Hashtag Mr. Biscuit. And we have Trey Busy in the house, as always. And he says, I can't wait until we come out like a Lamborghini week one against the Packers. So welcome back to Bears Barroom and Bears Hour Live. Kent, for those who don't know Kent, he is a writer at prideofdetroit.com, and he is also the creator of Raz. I know Phil is dying to go over all of your stats and figures and thoughts on our Bears rookies, but I want to give you an opportunity to share with our listeners, both in the chat and on the podcast, what relative athletic scores are and where people can find them and you online.
Great. Is audio coming through all right?
It is.
There he is. Yeah.
So like you said, I'm Kent Lee Platy. You can find me on MathBomb on Twitter at MathBomb. I do have a website at relativeathleticscores.com. You can actually download the application for Windows from there if you want to look up scores on your own. I'm currently developing the system cross-platform. It only works on Windows right now. I'm working on getting it on Mac as well. After I get that done, it's going to be all moving towards mobile, and I hope to have mobile active before draft season kicks off for 2019, which no one else is looking ahead to at all. We're all paying attention only to this season. We're not looking that far ahead. But I'm pretty easy to get a hold of, and as you guys all know, I answer anybody that I can whenever I can, so I'm pretty accessible.
Yeah, you are, and you really, really do a great job, Ken. I really wanted you to come on the show as Bears Girl and Aldo can attest, because I feel like to get these numbers and put them into a scoring system to give you some sort of organization towards where the metrics side of things are. Obviously, it's not 100% foolproof, but it really gives you an understanding from past yesteryear's talent to incoming talent. It gives you that almost like at a library where you're able to document where these things match up and how they can, you know, compare to one another. And really, you just do a great job, and I appreciate, you know, you are accessible and you are a very good follow. So if you aren't following him, you have my, so to speak, my praise to go do that, because Kent is a good follow, even though he's a Detroit Lions fan.
And I try not to drop the "We Own the Bears" hashtag as much as my fellow Pride of Detroit guys do, too. So you won't see it as often. From me, I try to keep it as generic as possible teams wise when I can, except for 2 days a year. You're probably going to get nothing but that.
So well, you sent true. Us earlier today all of the Bears Raz stuff. So I'm going to let Phil take over and have you walk us through our rookies.
Fantastic.
Well, Kent, you know, you look at Ryan Pace's 2018 draft class, and I know he scored, you know, big grades from these national narratives and what have you. But when you look at, did you see a pattern in regards to the Raz scores that you compiled?
Yeah, he wasn't screwing around this year. The Bears are kind of right in the middle for the past several seasons when it comes to athleticism. You usually get a couple of elite athletes, a couple guys a little bit below average, a couple guys right around the middle. They've been right around the middle when it comes to athleticism, which isn't a big deal. You don't have teams, very many teams, that are straight athleticism. You don't have teams that just ignore it completely. So it's not a big deal to fall in the middle for this particular thing over time. But 2018, he did not go that route at all. He picked a ton of elite athletes up. I'm looking at just the draft picks, and what do you have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of the draft picks rated above 8, which is what we consider elite range. And 4 of those guys were above 9, So that's a, you know, out of a 0 to 10 system. So, you know, 10 being the best, if you're a 9 out of 10, that's a hell of a lot of athleticism. And the Bears, they weren't messing around this year. None of the Bears draft picks were below average on RAS at all. So they definitely paid a little bit more attention to it this year than they have in previous years. And you know, it's always good from a fan's perspective to see that kind of stuff, because you want the big guys, the fast guys, the explosive athletes. Those are the guys that we as fans we get excited about. Those are the guys that we really want to see. So it's nice to see that they're doing a little bit more of that this year.
So when you look at the RAS score, for the person who doesn't know or doesn't follow you yet, you know, you're taking these, you know, times as well as height, weight, 40, bench, and you're coming up with a metric scale, correct? Can you just break that down?
So there's 10 combine measurements that we use. Use height and weight for size. So there's a little bit of size scaling just by including that in the score. You have your 40 and then your 20 and 10-yard splits. So your speed counts for about 30% of the score. Your bench to account for upper body strength. Your vert and broad for lower body explosiveness. And your short shuttle and three cone for agility and overall athleticism. All of those are rated on a 0 to 10 scale compared to their position group since 1987, for as much data as I have. Depending on the position, that could be anywhere from 500 to over 2,000 players that it's being compared against. I think I have almost 2,100 wide receivers in my database. So once those scores are all compared and we get those scores and averages gathered, that average is compared to the average of all players at that position since 1987. And that's where we get the overall RAS from. There's actually two scores that we compile now. We compile the overall, and then when I refer to RAS, I usually refer to what's behind the scenes, the draft year RAS, which is the RAS up to the year that the player was drafted. So for the 2018 class, those numbers are the same because it's all time and it's 2018, so that's the same. But depending on how far you go back, those numbers are going to look a little bit different. The closer to 1987 you get, the further from 2018, there's going to be a bigger disparity between your all-time score and the score that you had back then, because your data pool is smaller. You know, there was a lot fewer people in my database from 1991, say, than 2018. So the scores start to change a little bit. But it gives a much better picture of an overall athleticism standpoint compared to when they actually came out. So you'll have guys that were great athletes when they were drafted, but if they came out in 2018, that might not be the case.
That's impressive that you're able to do that. And for the listener, and there's a lot of loyal listeners that tune in live and then they hear it downloaded thousands of times on the podcast. You know, this, you know, Kent has put this together in his own way, and it really has become, for me personally, a tool necessary. When I look at the tape and I look at these guys, I go to this, obviously, after the combine and the pro days to match up really well. It worked really well, Kent. So I appreciate that because it's become a piece of my analysis puzzle. And I'm not a stat numbers guy. I'm a tape first guy, and that's how it is. But I've used your RAS scores, to just emphasize what I'm seeing is approaching to the excitement level that it should. And, you know, I appreciate the hard work you put into it, and it's out there, and it's a useful tool. I find it more useful for me than a lot of the PFF stuff, and it's nothing against them. I really do, and I tip my hat to you, brother, because you do a great job.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate it. And most of the time, it does line up with tape almost all the time. I mean, if you have a guy mm-hmm. who looks like an elite athlete on tape, chances are he's going to end up measuring like an elite athlete. And that's something I think gets lost when people start talking about analytics and talking about metrics, is they think that they're competing. They're two competing things. But when it really boils down to it, in most instances, if a guy looks like he's athletic on tape, he's going to measure out athletically. And if the guy doesn't measure out athletically, but he has really good tape, chances are he's winning in different ways. You don't have anybody that looks super fast on tape and then measures really slow. That's extremely rare. You don't see that very often. And that's the same for all of the other measurements too.
Sounds like you might have a bulldog in the background, so that'll transition well.
Dying old dog in this game.
So I talk about the Georgia Bulldog, the first round draft choice of the Chicago Bears. People are excited. When you look at his numbers, I think his overall score, I'm pulling it up, is 8.58 on your RAS scale. Now, who does that really compare favorably in the past in regards to his athleticism in your eyes there?
Yeah, and see, I tried to give you guys some good comparisons, not just on an overall scale, but on as close to an across-the-board comparison as I could find for all of your guys' picks. Roquan Smith wasn't hard to find. He has a very clean height-weight-speed comparison to another first-round draft pick, another top 15 pick, and a Pro Bowler, which was Patrick Willis from the 49ers. Willis had an 8.5 when he came out. Yeah, and exactly, Vic Fangio. You know. So he's got a type, and almost exactly the same size, same speed. The explosiveness, Patrick Willis was a little bit more explosive. I would argue that Roquan Smith was a little bit more agile on tape, but he didn't measure there, so we can't say that for certain. But their scores were very similar. Physically, they're very similar. That's the type of athleticism that you're going to get when you have Roquan Smith on the field. Now, again, this is all an athletic measurement, so when we go through these, you got to keep that in back of your mind. You want to get excited because he's your first-round pick, but remember, we're just talking about athleticism. Roquan Smith isn't the same player as Patrick Willis. He's very good. He's one of my favorite players from this draft. But don't get too excited when you have a good comp like that. But I say that knowing that you're already past that. You've went past the tempering your excitement, and you're already like, Pat Willis, we're there. We're Patrick Willis. We got him. He's here. So yeah, it's a great comparison to have athletically by any mark anyway. You know, getting compared to Patrick Willis by your play style or your athleticism, that's already top notch.
Yeah, and it's exciting because of the Vic Fangio connection. And as you're pointing out, you know, these teams spend millions of dollars using metrics to do what you're doing and really match it up with the tape. And when you look at Willis, his fit with Vic Fangio, his size, his speed, I mean, when you look at the RAS comparison, it's pretty crazy to look at the two of them next to each other and how well of the comp they are to one another. And it is exciting because that's all you have right now to go on until they strap it up. But obviously the kid is a wonderful player on tape.
Oh yeah.
When you go to the next guy though, another guy that stands out here is Anthony Miller, and the wide receiver from Memphis. The Bears traded up into the second round to secure this football player, giving up a next year's two. I want to ask you, just based on, you know, the athletic score and the tape, obviously, if you don't know, Kent watches a lot of tape too. It's not just about this, but when you look at Anthony Miller, was it worth the trade up in your mind? I know you're from the division, but you're an honest guy.
I think Anthony Miller is a really good player on tape. The concerns that we had with Anthony Miller had nothing to do with how well he played. There's a foot injury, if I recall, that had a little bit of a issue with him. But from a talent standpoint, they jumped up and grabbed him when they needed to. I don't think it was a reach by any measure. Some people had him as high as the first round, so I think it's good value. It's great value from an athletic standpoint. Miller is fantastic across the board from an athleticism standpoint. He's just a little bit shorter than the average receiver, but who cares? And there's a lot of short receivers that don't matter. And 5'11", almost 6 foot is not short. So,
right, I would take that if I could add it. Right. Look at the scores though, 9.28, well over that 8 mark. And you compared him to Greg Jennings, former Green Bay Packer, who was also a second-round pick, number 52 overall, I believe, out of Western Michigan for the Packers. He scored a, 8.6 RAS. But in 2006, if we fast-forward it to today, you had him scoring at 8.13. So if you look at the athleticism alone of what you're getting in regards to a second-round talent there, I've had guys that I really respect in you know, the business DM me and tell me, listen, I know Sigmund Bloom came on our show and was like, this was my number one receiver in the whole entire draft. Anthony Miller was a steal. You know, you look at the athleticism and the confidence, the mental aspect of it, as well as the tape. There's a reason why Bears fans are excited, Kent, and it looks like a really good comp to Greg Jennings here.
It does, and it's funny because before I posted this, and I put this together shortly before the show, but some time back before the draft, somebody, and it might have even been Sig that mentioned it, but somebody had comped Anthony Miller to a more explosive Greg Jennings. And from an athletic standpoint, that is spot on. That is 100% accurate from an athletic standpoint. Anthony Miller is not quite as fast, but it's a marginal difference in speed. But he's way more explosive, and almost their agility drills were very, very close. He actually beat his cone time by a little bit, but they both had ridiculous cone times. I mean, Miller had a 6.65 in his cone. Jennings had a 6.69. Both of those are well into the elite range for a cone time at a receiver. But it's fun. It was just funny to me that was the comp that I got, you know, months ago before the draft, and here I am pulling up the athletic measurements. I'm like, oh yeah, more athletic Greg, or more explosive Greg Jennings. Guess that works.
Let me ask you about his hand size. I know it was like 10 5/8 inch hands. I think you have it listed as 10. But have you noticed in your past of doing this, the hand size of wide receivers making a big difference in assessing these types of players transitioning to the NFL?
It comes up a lot, and you know, you want guys that have over 9 1/4. That tends to be the cutoff. The thing about hand size, in a way, it's a lot like weight, where you just don't want to be under a certain amount. You know, you don't want a guy that's got under 9-inch hands playing receiver. You generally don't have any success there. There's a very, very limited list of people who've actually found success at running back or receiver. Running back's another one where you don't want small hands. And, of course, quarterback, that comes up every combine all over the place. Yeah. Oh, hand size. But at receiver, you just want them to be over 9 1/4. And while 10 inches or 10 5/8, if that was the other listing, 10 inches doesn't seem like it's that much over 9 1/4. But the range isn't very big here. You're not talking about like 40 time where you have guys that run 4.35 and then you have guys that run 5.5. You know, there's a 2 second difference there. It's not like that. When you're talking about hand size, you're talking about the difference in general of about 8.5 to about 10.5 in general every year. So it's only 2 inches. So 3/4 of an inch of difference or more is significant to go from where you expect a guy to be and where this guy is. So 10-inch hand size is fantastic. That's usually what you're looking for tight ends. So it's tight end size hands in a much smaller frame. That's definitely beneficial.
Now when you go to the obviously first pick in the second round, every year I have some of my favorite. Obviously, me and you were going back and forth a little bit about one of my favorite, Marcus Davenport, who ended up going to the New Orleans Saints. It's going to be interesting to see how his career pans out because his RAS scores were off the charts.
And the good thing for him, just to interject a little bit, the good thing for him is he went in one of the best places he could have. They paid way too much for him, in my opinion. But from a coaching staff perspective, the Saints are one of the best places that Davenport could have landed.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I would have loved to see him with the Bears, as I really think he is going to be a 10-sack guy in the NFL, easy his rookie year. I've gone on the record and say it. I just thought the world of him. But another guy that I absolutely fell in love with, his tape, was James Daniels. And this guy I had earmarked easily for the first round. And obviously, teams might have pushed him down because of the knee or concerns with the knee. But when you look at these RAS scores of this offensive lineman, I mean, they coincide with what it is I see on the tape. And to get him in the second round, to me, was glorious. And talk a little bit about James Daniels and who he compared with favorably.
Sure, and James Daniels, his RAS was a 9.25 out of 10, which that's great. That's an awesome score, right? That's injured. He measured that injured. And he probably would have had a lot better if he had ran his 40 time while injured. He probably would have had a better score. So imagine what you're going to get if he had measured healthy. I comped him to a guy that you're probably not going to recognize right off the bat, which is John Flannery. He was drafted in the second round by the Texans. This is a similar round, similar level of athleticism. At the time, Flannery was the most athletic center in my database. This is going back quite a bit, though. This is 1991. So it's back quite a ways. But Flannery came right out of the gate, and he was fantastic when he first started playing. He was on the all-rookie team that year. But
Syracuse kid, right? Yep.
But what ended up happening was he had knee issues. So there was another comp here where there was already some injury issues. And I'm not saying it to be dire and say, oh, well, he's destined to get hurt or whatever. But it's just that what might have been. You have a guy that comes straight out the gate. He actually played guard as a rookie. He didn't play center that year because the Titans or the Texans, they had a guy back right. then. Well, it was the Oilers back then. They weren't the Texans yet. You know, James Daniels has that same level of potential. He can come right out the gate, and he will start from day one. He will be a very good player from day one. You've watched his tape. There's no concern about that. The question about Daniels is just going to be whether or not he can last and whether the injuries are a fluke thing or if there's something that he can manage. I would have loved to have seen what a guy like Flannery could have been, especially on that offensive line back then. But James Daniels, it's going to be that same way. If he can maintain his health and he can stay on the field, he's going to be a beast for him. Now, there's no correlation between RAS and success for center, which I can say because the Lions also drafted an elite athlete at center, so I have the same concerns. You know, there's nothing that points to saying that this type of athletic measurements matter at center. But that depends on your blocking scheme. If you're going in with a blocking scheme where you're going to have guys on the move a lot, you need an athlete. You need a guy that's going to be able to get out there and move in space. The Bears have that. The Lions have that. They both got a guy they think can do that type of movement. Daniels, when he gets out in space, man, he's quite hard to pick up by linebackers. They don't think that a guy that's almost 3'10" can move that way, and he's a lot of fun to watch.
He's unbelievable to watch. I compared him to the kid who ended up leaving Kansas City and went to the Raiders, Hudson.
An athletic standpoint, they're not very similar. But if I remember, I think Hudson was hurt when he measured coming out.
Yeah, I don't remember him testing.
He tested. Right. He didn't test well though. Yeah, he didn't test well though. I'm pretty sure he was injured though.
So that was it, because that kid on tape could do things that, you know, he in the open of the show you missed. He was talking about how he looks up to Kelsey over in Philadelphia. And when you watch Kelsey doing Daniels tape, he gets to the second and third level with ease. And just like you said, he almost shocks linebackers that he's up on him so quickly. And when you're going into this run pass, you know, Philadelphia, you know, spread and mixed in with power scheme that you see, I think this kid was the perfect fit for what Matt Nagy wants to bring to the table.
Yeah, and it's funny because Jason Kelsey was actually, if I'm almost 100% certain, he's the guy that I comped Daniels to when I did an article pre-draft before the combine. I think Kelsey was the guy that I comped him to from an athletic standpoint. I figured he would have measured right about the same. And even hurt, he still came close.
Wow. There you go. We're on the same page, Kent. So here's this part in the draft where I was like confused, because I'll be the first one. I didn't have Joel Eabunnawa this high. After watching tape, I see what Ryan Pace likes. He scored a 7.77 on the RAS score. Talk a little bit about him and who you comp him to and what Bears fans should expect in regards to the type of athlete.
Yeah, and he's actually went right about where I think he was predicted to go before the draft. I think the part about him is just nobody wants to say his name, and it's hard, so they just give up on it. Ironically, I watched the Combine with my dad, and it was his first time ever watching the Combine. He didn't know the Combine exists. There are people who don't know the Combine is a thing, and these are people that are related to me, which is amazing to me. But I watched the Combine with him, and he pronounced that kid's name perfectly on the first try. And I have never been able to. So that's crazy.
Is he any relation to Aldo Gandia? Aldo can butcher every a Washington, a McClellan, but Iabunwe, he hits it every time. First time out the gate, so shout out to him.
Yeah, from an athletic standpoint, though, you're looking at a good athlete. He measured a 7.77 out of 10. What's tough about getting a comp for a guy like him is that this type of linebacker is relatively new. The NFL is in a of change right now. There's a lot of positions that are starting to be utilized differently. You're seeing safeties that are dropping into the linebacker position more and more. You're seeing linebackers that are expected to cover in space a lot more. There's a lot of stuff that's changing in the NFL, and it has been for a few years now. But because of the fact that it's still relatively new in the grander scheme of things, you're not going to come up with a whole lot of straight line athletic comps. This guy comes in at under 230. So for a linebacker, that's going to be a little bit concerning because you have to wonder whether or not the Bears are going to try to bulk him up. A guy that I comped him to, another guy that you might not recognize right off the bat, was Gerald McCrath, who played for the Titans. He was drafted in 2009, also in the fourth round. Very similar athletic profile across the board. But one of the things that struck me was that they tried to use him like a traditional linebacker in Tennessee. And that was not very wise of Tennessee to do. I'm a huge Steven Tulloch fan. The Lions eventually signed him, and you can imagine my elation when the team that you love signs the player that you love. You know, having those two things joined together. But I watched him throughout his pro career, and I've seen Gerald McCrath play quite a bit, and it was just very mismatched between his skill set and how they tried to use him. Now bring that back around to this guy, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, so it's going to be this guy or Joel or whatever.
Call him Iggy.
Iggy, that works. But you come around to him, and it really is going to be dependent on how they use him. I don't know how they're planning on doing that, and Fangio has not had the greatest track record of using guys outside of Patrick Willis that have that type of skill set. So it's going to be interesting to see how they try to develop him. But this is a guy that, if they use him right, if they use him how well they used Patrick Willis, and I don't think they're going to have him in similar roles at all. From the tape that I've seen, I don't see that at all. But if they use him as well, if they use him in a defined role where he fits that quick, that coverage skills that you try to push with this type of linebacker, if they use him in that way and don't try to force feed him into a traditional linebacker role, I think they're going to have a little bit more success with him. But once you start getting into late round picks, you're already getting to the point where you're like, okay, what role is this guy going to have?
Exactly. I'm excited about him because I think that weak side position, if he's given the opportunity, just like you said, especially with a lot of this run pass option, you need those talented cover guys. And the one thing that really stands out with this kid is his speed and his quickness, his ability to, like you were comparing McCrath using him in the appropriate way. It's going to be exciting to see how he comes in and how determined. Or is he going to just learn on special teams? And obviously you got Danny Trevathan, Roquan Smith, and Nick Kwiatkowski into the mix. Competition to me like that. Obviously Christian Jones is now a Detroit Lion, who is kind of that swing versatile linebacker that we had here. This kid comes in here, he is an excellent blitzer as well as a run and chase type of guy. So I'm excited about that pick, but not as excited as I am about the next guy. And to me, some guys just pop on the tape. And when you're in Division I AA football, you have to just show up and show out. You jump off the tape. This football player, Bilal Nichols, really was one of my personal favorite type of guys. Like, I used to call him steals, like later round gems. When you look at his athletic score, I think he's the highest graded out of all the Bears, as far as Raz is concerned. Am I correct there? I believe so.
974. 974, yep.
There you go. So, I mean, talk about this football player. For me, playing that five technique with this kind of ceiling and athleticism, you know, Kent puts in, obviously, height, weight become a part of the equation. Speed, obviously, 20 and the 10 yard, as well as bench. This kid scored a 9.74. Kent, talk about him and who you compared him to.
So his worst athletic trait is that he's only mostly above average in his weight. That's his worst athletic trait, is he's pretty big. So if your worst trait is he's pretty big, then you know the kind of athlete that you're talking about here. He ran a sub 5 second 40, which that's great for any defensive lineman on the interior. It's great for any interior offensive lineman or outside offensive lineman. It's great for 5 techs. It's great for 3 techs. It's great for 1 tech running a sub 5. Obviously, if you're going to be playing 5 technique full time, you want to have a little bit more speed to that. But that's still a fantastic score for a defensive tackle to have, especially in the type of role that I think that they're going to have him doing. The Bears already have Eddie, is it Goldman? I always forget. Is it Goldman, right?
Him? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to forget, you know, his name about next year.
They already have him, so they don't have to plug Nichols into a nose tackle role. They don't have to plug him inside and just say, hey, eat space. They can do a lot more with him. They can use him into a little bit more versatile role. I actually comped him to Barry Cofield earlier in, I think it was right after the combine.
The Giants.
Yes. Barry Cofield is a very underappreciated player in the last decade or so in the NFL. He had a very strong career, a very solid career. He may not have ever been a household name, but he's a guy that played for a long time, and he played at a pretty high level pretty much the entire time. Bilal Nichols has the exact same type of potential. I think he's going to play for a very long time. I think he's going to have a very versatile role. I would love to see him grow into that star role once he leaves the Bears. he's a guy that can do a lot of things and do them well. And I think having the athletic ability to be able to do that, as you can see from the card, you know, his worst athletic grade, so outside of his size scores, his worst athletic grade was still above the 75th percentile, which was his vertical. His explosiveness scores were only very good and not elite. So again, you're talking about his worst marks are better than most people ever hope for. So he's got all those tools that you want to have for your interior defensive lineman. So that's going to be one that's going to be fun for you guys to watch and not so much for me.
Yeah, I'm excited about that young man. The next guy I know had the super producer, the Godfather, very excited. We needed a pass rusher in this draft. We needed to find them. You guys franchise tagged a guy that came out with the same kind of speculation that Davenport did in Ziggy Ansah. I think the world of that football player, thought he'd be a tremendous fit with Vic, but you guys kept him in-house. That's the smart move you guys did, because that's a talented pass rusher in a league that's desperate for them. Obviously, the Bears weren't able to tap into it, but in the late round, they took a guy that had been injured and banged up. And when you look at the RAS score of this young man, to get this kind of potential in the sixth round of an NFL draft, to me, excites me. I saw him, you know, down at the Senior Bowl. Obviously, I watched tape on him. When healthy, this kid shows toughness and the kind of traits that you want in a football player that's an ascending talent. The only thing was the injuries holding him back. So talk about Kylie Fitz and who you compared him to. The comp you had, I love that kid coming out, so talk about him.
I actually remembered that. I'm pretty sure we talked about that at one point. There aren't a lot of straight line comps for Kylie Fitz, just because his athletic profile is obviously very good. It was a 9.6 out of 10, so very high level of athleticism. But you don't tend to find guys with this level of this type of cone score that don't also have great scores pretty much everywhere else. It's not very common. And I'm mentioning cone specifically in this instance because we are talking about a pass rusher. For those uninitiated of sorts, there's two positions or two drills that you pay more attention to than anything when you're talking about linemen, which is on the defensive line, on the edge, you want that cone to be under seven seconds. Fitz had a 6.88, which is a fantastic score. It's 97th, almost 98th percentile, about as good as you can get, right? The other is a shuttle score that's under 4.2, I think it is, or 4.4 for an offensive lineman. And hell, Fitz would have had that too. But in this instance, it's just a really good mark that helps out his overall score. You tend to have guys that have that level of cone also have great explosion scores. Fitz only had okay explosion scores, a little bit above average. Not great, but very good. So his overall athletic grade is great just because he has that awesome agility scores and very, very good speed scores. His size is only average, but you're going to be rushing him off the edge. As long as you're average size, that's fine. But his athletic profile is fantastic. Like you said, it's injuries that you have to watch out for. And whenever you have a guy that can bend like that, if you can get them to do that consistently as a rotational player, then you can hopefully mitigate those health issues if that's something that's a long-term concern.
Yeah, and you compared him to Trey Hendrickson, who came out of Florida Atlantic. I think he was a third-round pick or second-round pick of the Saints, but football player that I really liked. He ended up getting a lot of time with the Saints and really showed up, but was then injured. They had him playing inside, flipping outside. The kid Hendrickson was special, so hopefully Kylie Fitz comes in here and shows that kind of spark that you want, and you're breaking down the cone numbers, really assessing that perfectly. The last guy in the draft, you know, a lot of Bear fans are excited about this football player. And when I looked at the Raz, I was kind of surprised. I thought he'd be score a little bit higher than he did, especially in the vertical and the broad jump. But talk about Jevon Wims. And who you compared him to, and what you think of him as a seventh round pick.
So as a seventh round pick, I compared him to a second round pick. So that's usually a good sign, yeah. but he doesn't have the same concerns, at least in my eyes, as the guy that I compared him to. I compared him to Reuben Randall, who was a second round pick by the Giants back in 2012. Athletically, they're very similar, same height, similar weight, similar level of speed. Their explosiveness wasn't as great. They actually had almost identical agility scores. So they're very close from an athletic standpoint. The limiting factor for Randall was his route tree and his hands. So as long as Jevon Wims has those two things under wraps, then he can have as good of a career as Randall did. Randall was a bit of a disappointment as a second-round pick. Wims is coming in as a seventh-round pick, so the level of expectations aren't as high. But you can expect to get something out of him and push him to be a little bit more than what Randall was, or at least what Randall was, if you can give them that level of opportunities.
Yeah, Wims to me is, you know, the cherry on top in how they use him and how he fits into the Bears philosophy moving forward and with Matt Nagy. How he's used on the outside or special teams. This kid seems to be coming in here with a chip on his shoulder. It was funny because in the rookie camp, you saw him surrounded by all the rookies and the tryout guys, and he's literally towering above everybody. So that kind of height that, you know, Kevin White and Allen Robinson kind of come in with tall, and what are you going to get from Kevin White? So this kid comes in here as a seventh-round pick with a chip on his shoulder. I'm going to sign up for that. So it's going to be exciting. Now, real quick, because I know we're keeping you on time. I don't want to keep you. But when you look at the undrafted free agents and, you know, quickly, a couple of them that you thought were excellent signings or really stand out with their RAS scores.
So there's four guys that I pointed out that the Bears signed. Three of them happened to have the highest scores. That wasn't planned, even though obviously the scores are my thing. They picked up Dejon Allen out of Hawaii. And forgive me if some of these guys are no longer with the team. The list that I had may not have been the most current. So just stop me if I mention a guy that's not there anymore. But that was a guy that I had highlighted due to his athleticism. He's undersized for the position. He needs to bulk up. I don't see him making the roster day one. I'd be a bit surprised if he did. He needs to bulk up before he's going to be ready to play in the pros. But from an athleticism standpoint, he's got all those traits, man. The only score that he had that was poor from an athleticism standpoint happened to be the most important one, which was the shuttle. But all of his other drills were great. Over eight for every other drill that he had outside of his size and the shuttle. So a great athlete, a guy to look out for. Abdullah Anderson out of Bucknell, very small school, so not the guy that a lot of people have paid attention to. But a fantastic athlete across the board. None of his marks were below average, so a guy that you pay attention to just because of those athletic traits. Another guy that you're probably going to have to wait a year just because the level of competition is such a big jump from Bucknell to the NFL. Ryan Nall really jumped out. He was a huge fan favorite to a bunch of my friends on the Lions site, so going to the Bears was not fun. Now suddenly everybody hates him. But at 232 pounds and 6'2", you know, that's a big boy at running back. And usually when you have that big of a guy, they're not the greatest of athletes. That is not the case for Nall. He had fantastic athletic marks across the board, with the exception of his vert and his bench. I know people like to pay attention to the bench because it's a measure of strength, and there's that macho aspect to it, but I don't care. I'm more concerned about whether guys got good lower body explosiveness and whether he's agile. And running a sub-7 cone time at 232 pounds for a running back is a little bit scary. That's not the kind of score that you usually see that level of athleticism. That's almost the same type of concern that I have with a guy like the Lions just signed, LeGarrette Blount. Blount didn't have that kind of overall athletic profile. But he is a big boy that can move in space, and that's the kind of thing that they got in Nall.
Were you surprised that he didn't get drafted?
I was shocked that he wasn't drafted. It surprised me a lot.
Me too.
I had him, I think, in the sixth. He was a late-round pick for me. His tape is good. It's not as great as some of my friends thought that it was. But he had good enough tape to get drafted. And when you have a guy that big with that kind of athletic profile, it was surprising to me. With no other serious flags that I knew about, it was surprising to me that he didn't get drafted.
Regarding Anderson, NFL.com says he's a powerful interior defender who uses heavy, strong hands and adequate athletic ability to consistently disrupt offensive game plans. Is it unique to find a defensive lineman with such a high RAS to fall to undrafted status?
It's not unique, and it's funny that they mentioned the adequate athleticism thing, and this is one of the things that I've tried to refine a bit over the years. You know, we mentioned at the beginning that I watch a lot of tape. I try to identify athletic traits on tape, and one of the things that gets missed very often is how athletic some of these guys are because their technique is poor, and you see that so much with guys from smaller schools where they're just not technically refined enough to take advantage of the athletic gifts that they have, or they're being poorly coached. I don't think that was the case in this particular instance, but you see a guy that doesn't look very explosive, he might just not be timing the snap very well. So he doesn't look like he's explosive because he just isn't getting off the snap. That could be a technique issue. That could be a timing issue. That could be his assignments and what he's actually asked to do. Josh Sweat from Florida State, that was one of the big concerns with him. A lot of people thought he wasn't that athletic, and he just knocked out almost every athletic drill. Part of that was because he was just asked to do things differently at the snap, so he didn't look as explosive. He didn't look as quick off the snap. You see that a lot with interior defensive linemen because of what their assignments are. I think that was probably the case here. It's the same thing with getting agile out in space. It's usually a mental aspect when you have a guy that doesn't look very good out in space. He's either over-diagnosing or he's just oversimplifying things. He doesn't know what he's supposed to do when he gets out in space. So they look lost. They look slow. Conversely, you'll get guys that look like they're rockets and they're flying all over the place and missing everybody. That's when you get all those missed tackles, and then people complain about that. We complain about everything in the NFL draft.
We do.
For guys like this, though, it's not uncommon, especially for small schools, to see guys like that. But you usually see them get picked up in the seventh round. Seventh round is usually where small school athletic guys go. Abdullah Anderson was a guy that could have went there.
Okay. And Chaz Robertson was in our chat room. He had to leave, but he had a question for you, and it might be a hard one. But he says, from a RAS to draft pick ratio, from your recollection, who was the best athletic talent value taken in the 2018 draft?
Oh, gosh. And the 2000 best value. See, that's a tough one.
He's giving you a hard one.
That is a tough one.
That's why I'm saying I added in from your recollection, because there's a lot of info there.
God, see, it's so much easier to come up with the guys that were the worst value, right? Because you always remember those guys, Colton Miller, who get drafted way too high because of their athletic ability. Gosh, that's
it may not be one you can answer now. You can tweet it out to us later.
Tweet it out.
I might have. Oh, you know what? Actually, I don't have to, because if we're talking about strictly from a Raz to draft status, and we're going to hate this, we're all going to hate this. It's Equanimeous St. Brown, drafted in the sixth round by the Packers.
Wow.
He had a 9.84 out of 10, and he was drafted in the sixth round. So there were a couple guys that were drafted later that had higher scores, but they're guys that I don't think would have had any chance of going higher than that. But St. Brown was a guy that was considered a much higher draft pick. He had a fantastic athletic profile, and he fell all the way to the sixth round because he's got, I think, daddy issues or something. So I think that would probably be the one. That I know he doesn't stretch. That was one of the big concerns. But that's got to be the best value right there.
Well, that is all I got, Phil. Anything else for Kent before we let him go?
No, Kent. I mean, tell us where we can find you on Twitter. Give us the website again. But really, honestly, I really appreciate you coming on the show, breaking down this draft and undrafted free agents. Again, the Bears fans prepared and excited for the 2018 season. It's going to be exciting, Kent. We're going to have you on Bears Lions week. We're going to go at it a little bit together. All right?
Well, I don't know if you want me on that week.
Oh, yeah.
maybe the week after.
No, I want you on that week. That's
no, we go live the Monday after the game. So yeah. Oh,
I'm gonna be very hard up whether we win or lose, man. But you can find me on Twitter at MathBomb. My website is Relative Athletic Scores. I usually plug Pride of Detroit, but I'm pretty sure none of your listeners are gonna be going there anytime soon. But as I mentioned, I'm very easy to access on Twitter. You can ask me any questions. Ask for a player card if you want one. The data goes all the way back to 1987. So if you want a guy from way back then, I've either got them or they don't have scores. So hit me up if you have any questions. I'll be there pretty much all the time.
And AirJR54 in our chat room is saying, we definitely want you live after the game.
Win he or says lose. That now.
Win or lose. So I'm saying it now. Matt, you are a tremendous follow. Great hard work and passion put into the numbers and putting it all together with these player cards. I'll ask you for one player, one of my favorite underrated Bears of all time. Maybe you could throw it up there tomorrow or later. Was Lemuel Stinson out of Texas Tech, played for the Bears. You could throw his card up there for me. I always wondered what he tested out.
Sure, I got it. I'll throw it up.
Thank you so much. And I really appreciate you coming on the Bears Hour Live with us.
Bears Hour and a Half Live tonight. Good night, Kent.
Good night, guys. Have a great one.
Good night.
Bye.
All right, Kent. You could hear Aldo through the echoes of Notre Dame's Golden Dome touchdown. I could see him biting his thumbs when St. Brown's name and the Packers. Trey Bizzy must have been fired up in the chat room as well. Packers getting a steal.
For Barfly still listening, and there are 30 of them, we are going Bears Hour and a Half Live. Sorry, Trey. I got to get to the Ask BHL questions or nobody will ask them ever again. So are you ready that almost full hour with Kent?
Well, you know, we try to give the rookie mini camp its due.
Oh, boy.
We also give the OTAs. And also a Lions fan coming on, you know, showing no bias, class act. Credit Aldo for introducing me to Kent. And really, you know, I speak the truth. I don't give two craps. You know that. I'll keep it 100. Great information, great follow, great guy.
All right, so we have consensus in the chat room that, yeah, they absolutely did enjoy that breakdown of all of our rookies. And let's get to some Ask BHL questions. You ready?
Absolutely.
All right, Ryan Cox asked, at Mr. Ryan Cox asks, What is it about Harry Hiestand that makes him the best O-line coach in all of football?
I think what separates positional coaches is expectations of the room and knowing your stuff. I would normally say shit. I think we can go say that around. If you know your stuff, you know your shit, and you're teaching it, and your expectation is consistent across the board, and putting players in positions that are best for them. They might not be comfortable in them, but you know, as the offensive line coach, your responsibility is to get the best five out there and to coach them up on technique. This guy checks all the boxes. He's a thoroughbred in regards to teaching technique. He's a thoroughbred in regards to the expectation of the room. When offensive linemen from his past are out there laughing from other NFL teams at what the Bears should expect as far as their offensive line room, because Harry is a no-nonsense coach who's going to expect Kyle Long. Let me say this really honestly. Guys that say coaching doesn't matter have no clue or time to come on and talk football. I'm serious, BG. I just want to emphasize that again. Great question, Cox, because I'm going to tell you, Harry is going to treat Kyle Long exactly as the same as the Jerron Johnson or the kid from Hawaii, the undrafted free agent. He's going to push the right buttons to make the competition most important. Those kind of coaches that are sound in technique and teaching, great communicators, disciplinarians, and get the most out of their football players by putting them in the right position to succeed is why Harry has the reputation he does. He's not going to mince words. And let's just be honest. I know I'm giving you the long answer, but there's been times that this coaching staff has had offensive line coaches that have not blocked the play correctly. And Lauren Cox, friend of the show, now doing Locked On Bears, and I would watch tape together, and I would crack up laughing that this offensive line coach asked this team to block this play versus this front the way they did without a check. And it's disgusting, really, because it's the NFL. So Harry is going to make sure all the checks are in place so the plays are blocked appropriately. And if somebody's not given 100%, they're going to be out of there. Trust me. They're not going to make it out of camp. So they could be the veteran, and they're scoffing like the kid they signed from Arizona. He's going to have to go in there and battle just like the undrafted.
So speaking of coaching doesn't matter, one of our co-workers had to take the night off because he spent all weekend debating that online. So this is what we have to say to him.
That's great. You know, I saw that, and I gotta quickly say, Shane, come back tomorrow. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on it. You know, sometimes I don't have the patience to get involved in a debate that's going nowhere. Like, I'm gonna solve something. Like, do you trust me? If you listen to the show or Bears Barroom or you watch the videos I put up or something I'm breaking down, do you trust me enough to know that I'm gonna tell you what I know, whether you agree with it or not? If you're going on the side of stupidity, and I'm sorry, sir, what you were saying in defense of Dowell Loggins and John Fox and their offensive philosophy as well as their usage of personnel, it was so downright disgusting and completely wrong that how am I going to convince someone who's a complete contrarian to the point of tape? I've got to put up tape for you to watch how stupid it is. People are putting numbers and whatever. The fact of the matter remains, they're gone. Get over it. They were a hindrance. They were a terrible We've gone over this 100,000 times on the show, as well as Bears 100 Proof. Everywhere, it's consistent across the board. Dowell Loggins was a disaster as a play caller and a coach that understood feel and scheme and personnel. It's just, there's nowhere to hide. So I have people on the record telling me they lost respect for Adam Gase just for hiring the guy because he's a clown. So see what you want, but know this. I don't agree with anything. I agreed everything with the smartest man in the barroom. That's why he needs to come back. I can't wait to hear his thoughts on it tomorrow.
He is hanging out in the chat room right now, listening in. Apparently, that audio clip is me yelling from the 24th floor balcony of my condo. Yeah, just a little nugget there for you guys. Another question at Ask BHL was from AirJer54, Jeremy Kramer. He says, with all of the looming positional battles coming, which battle do you think will be the most heated? Wide receiver, offensive lineman, safety, or tight end? And which just look like a battle on paper?
There's going to be a lot of interesting back. I think the inside backer position is going to be interesting. I don't think anybody's going out without a fight. So I think offensive guard is going to be. I think Cush is going to want that position. You know, Daniels is here. Are they going to play the politics? Are they going to play who's best? Are they going to play? You know, I just went through a rant on how great Harry is. The confidence in me says he's going to play who's best. If James Daniels isn't ready, he's going to be on the bench. Yeah. If Grasso didn't work his ass off, he's going to be cut. These things are going to happen when you have a coach that's trusted and informed. And I think Pyers is the same way at the linebacker position. You ain't giving the position over to Roquan. It's going to be exciting to see. We all know how great that football player is, but what kind of mental attitude? You know, Kent was on the show, you know, talking about the kid from Bucknell. Well, what kind of mental approach is he going to come in with that kind of athletic talent? Look at the five technique, Bullard. Me and Shane talked about his weight, and he looks pudgy. What kind of shape is he going to come in? What kind of motivation is he going to come in? Roy Robb looks like he's going to be the starter in my mind. Is this guy going to come in here? Bilal Nichols and knock them out. I think that's an interesting position of competition there. The safety position is, to me, is locked up with Amos and Eddie Jackson, clearly. You know, there's been a lot of clamoring about Amos, but I'll get into that tomorrow night as I work on the film to prove my point. That's where it never lies. So I got a lot. I'm sure it's going to get a lot of views in what I'm putting together for Bears Barroom in regards to Adrian Amos. Let me just put that out there. So it's going to be exciting. I think the tight end position, real quick, Adam Shaheen is going to be a man. I really believe it. Put that on the record. I know there were critics out there about him. It takes a little while at that position, but I think that that football player fits Nagy's system really well. And I think him working with Trey Burton is going to be exciting. So put me down right now about Adam Shaheen. Keep yourself prepared because that football player is going to be exciting.
Our next question comes from John Santucci at Santucci underscore John, also known as the Tooch, who we need to wish a happy second birthday to his daughter. He says,
happy birthday, young bear girl.
Baby Tooch. He wants you to look into your crystal ball and give Barflies a few names you think will be surprise cuts after the Bears training camp.
That's tough now because I don't even have a roster in my head. Let me just think. You know, Mike Burton, I think, is going to be showing the door. Grasso, a third-round pick. I look at this depth chart. I look at the talent there. He mentioned the kid from Hawaii, watching his tape. Oh, if he doesn't get Aldo Gandy excited when he goes out to training camp with Trey, and they're watching offensive line drills, I'm going to be interested in seeing eyes and video on that kid from Hawaii and how he fires out, because this kid plays with a freaking edge to him. That kid's someone I think is going to battle for a roster spot. I know Kent said practice squad, but I think he's going to be too – if he plays the way his tape is, I think he's going to be too good to try to stash. So he'll push one of these offensive linemen off, because you obviously James Daniels is making this football team. So Grisou, I think this is a big year for Kevin White. I think he could be a cut at the end of camp. This year it's going to be different. I think they did that last year as well, where the final cuts are going to be everybody. They're not going to go through two cuts. So everybody's getting cut at the very end. So everybody's playing through the full preseason. Is that correct, Aldo? I think that's how it is, yes. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think Kevin White would be the big name Bears player, looking at Wims, Miller, Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel. Kevin White's going to have to be a superstar in camp to work his way back. It'll be interesting, but he's someone, Tooch, I think that Bush is on thin ice there. That's another name on the defensive side. He's got to do something in camp. Same with DeAndre Hall. I think Houston Carson gives you great special teams play. But, you know, those two players that were picked in the fourth round, Bush and DeAndre Hall, have showed potential. They have the size, but they have not lived up to the draft billing. So those are the guys, I think, from years past going forward that are on thin ice.
So lots of chat in the chat room on all of those players you just mentioned. Chris at Bears Fan for Life 77 asks, who do you think the backup safety will be? Is there anyone currently on the roster worth that spot?
Well, yeah, that's going to be these players. Houston Carson, Deion Bush. You got the kid who I really like out of TCU, Nick Orr. How's he come into being? Is Hall a corner? Is he a safety? This is it for him. Because this roster is so talented, it's going to be interesting to see that position and how it plays out. But, you know, I think this camp, more so than ever, with the defense established the way it is so far in regards to returning all of their players, mostly, especially in a secondary and adding competition there, it's going to be interesting to see how that. So to me, Houston Carson, Deion Bush, DeAndre Hall, backup safeties, this kid Orr coming in excites you. What is the kid Franklin III? Where is he going to play corner? Is he going to play safety? That's going to be interesting to see. I know he's going to be the kick returner. So how the numbers line is going to be important to the roster as well, because they've normally kept four safeties. So when you look at the numbers, it's going to be interesting how they play it out. But for right now, I got to see how these guys play during the preseason, especially with the extra preseason game, BG. As the Bears are going to open with the Hall of Fame game, a lot of these younger players, for me, it's not boring at all. Preseason games, I love, because I get to see the young players and I don't miss any games, because right now I'm dying for football. So I've always said, you get 16 of these, I cherish every game, the preseason included, because it's football, it's the Bears, and the competition in the ultimate reality television show is on display. This is an American Idol where they're getting a shot to sing in front of Simon Cowell. This is, you're getting a shot to play for the Chicago Bears in front of the nation for an opportunity to make the football team. And to me, there's no greater showcase of football than that. So the young players getting that extra game, I'm excited about it.
All right, so there's a question popping up in the chat room that I want to bring to your attention, then we'll go back to the Ask BHL questions. Mm-hmm. There's some conversation around Howard being traded, and what would that value be?
I mean, it's not a value to trade him at all. To me, this is an elite football player. I don't see a value at all, draft pick, whatever, that you're gaining in losing this kind of football player. And to be perfectly honest, I think there's a double standard. Like I said in the beginning rant of this show, highlight it, BG. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, the offense stunk or was conservative or everybody knew the plays, and then you still have a 1,000-yard rusher facing predictability and stacked boxes. Imagine, if you will, I was listening to another podcast today, them talking about, wow, the talent is going to affect the coverage. So think about what Jordan Howard is going to be capable of doing. And Barflies are going to at me during the season. Your boy, Jordan Howard. That's right. Remember I said this. You thought he was good against stacked boxes? Wait till they have to go out and cover and double team a Taylor Gabriel because he's beating them over Allen Robinson. And Tariq Cohen moves out and brings that linebacker. All of a sudden, they're running inside zone down the throats of the Minnesota or the Green Bay Packers on opening night because they can't cover the deep ball. They're afraid. They're pushed back on their heels. All of a sudden, 15-yard burst up the middle, running over the safety who made it in the top 100, but Amos didn't, to me, is the difference. Jordan Howard runs angry hard. You can't value that now. Right now, he's your knockout punch. He's the consistent reason why you even won football games last year, and there's no even reason to even talk about trading this talent right now.
So let's take a look at another question from Bears Fan for Life 77. What's the over-under on Fox pulling a Fisher and taking credit for how good the Bears are this season?
I'm going to take the over. I really am. I mean, he's going to know it all. I'm sure Aldo's queuing up a sound effect right now. I mean, you talk about accuracy. I can hear him.
Do your research.
Exactly. I did it. I know Fox is going to play the cards in favor of John Fox. Hey, I'm not going to hate on him. I'm not going to even watch it. I think, obviously, I'm going to have to watch it for this show and Bears 100 proof because I think we're going to get some excellent sound to make fun of and have a good time because that's what that's about. But ultimately, I think you're going to see John Fox play the pat himself on the back game. And if I'm wrong, I'll give credit to Coach Fox if he can admit his biggest mistake, honestly, was not firing Dowell Loggins after year one of Dowell Loggins. And I'll be on the record of saying it. That was his downfall and stubbornness of recognizing that this guy wasn't good enough for that job was his failure. For all the negative things I could say about the head coach, that is the ultimate showcase of you couldn't see the cart before the horse. It was just completely lost. So now he, unfortunately, he's making millions. So anybody feeling sad for John Fox, he's perfectly fine. And he's open for criticism. And I think he'll make sure that he gets credit for the Bears' quick turnaround.
Yeah, and obviously he's making sure that Nagy and everyone knows that what the Bears need to do now is a passing game. So thanks, Fox.
Yeah, let's run the June Jones offense, Fox. He's unbelievable. I'm
so glad I don't get ESPN up here. Last question is from Jose the Slump God at Prophetic CZ. He says, since I'm being semi-realistic about looking at our playoff chances and the best route obviously will be the wild card. Who realistically are our threats for those two spots?
Honestly, this is up in the air. As long as the history of the NFL has changed to the current format of playoffs, every year a team has gone from worst to first. That has been a statistic that is undeniable. When you look at the changes the Chicago Bears made, I completely believe they have the talent on paper to do so. I laugh at people and analysts that don't think that it could happen. Just wait until it changes. There was a moment, a critical moment last season where John Fox had an opportunity to turn around a season and really ultimately goofballed that around, as you all know, and starting Mike Glennon against the Green Bay Packers when it was clearly time to turn to Mitchell Trubisky. Oh, wait another week. Coaching matters. Personnel matters. Timing matters. Field matters. So when you look at the whole dynamic of the NFL and who's Minnesota, now that they got Kirk Cousins, everything's going to fall in place. You don't know how that fit's going to be. Injuries play a part in it. I don't do records in May. I always laugh at that, too, because injuries are going to occur. We knock on wood here that none occur for the Bears, but they affect football games, not just fantasy playoffs and what have you. For those fans, the diehards that are listening in, affect the flow of your football team and its chances to the playoffs. You saw it with Green Bay and Brett Hundley going in there and how that transpired. So I'm not afraid of anybody in the NFC North. You look at the NFC West, you know, are you afraid of anybody there? The Rams scare you? I'm not. A lot of hype around the defensive signings there. I've seen a dream team form before, and I saw them fall flat on their faces. Until the pads are on, looking at everything on paper, you know, NFC East, the Giants, Saquon, Dallas, all these teams, we don't know anything about who the Saints are going to be. We don't know. They look great. Let's see what they are. So it's really hard, Jose, to look at it now and tell you definitively, yeah, I think this. But I can say that I totally believe on paper the Bears are not out of position to win this division, even. You talk about wild card. I look at it realistically, what the fits are, where they've done and what they've done in the offseason, defensively and offensively, as well as an aggressive, young-minded offensive head coach surrounding him with the best offensive line coach in football. I think you're building the recipe for a turnaround in your football team. And that's not even talking about all the things we talked about tonight in Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, and the talent they've gained on the outside. That it's not fanboy or homerish to be in unison of what they've done in 1 year's time. And I think the biggest move was getting rid of Fox. So I've seen it 100 times now that the team from last is going to first. So let's not count it out. Again, it's early, but I'm putting my stamp on the Bears should be in contention in this division, and it should be a battle because I don't think anybody's out in front, BG.
So Bears fan Dan is in the house, your new best friend, and he gave us some interesting stats with his wide collection. He said the Bears were 5'11 in 2000 and then went 13'3 in 2001. They were 5'11 again in 2004 and then went 11'5 in 2005.
Yeah. You know, history repeats itself to a lot of people. To me, I'm just telling you what it is. Again, there's a certain vibe, there's a certain air in regards to the coach. Aldo put it very eloquently on his Bears on Tap show about not feeling that. I've talked about it on Bears 100 Proof and Bears Hour Live. I went on a dissertation about Matt Nagy and how he's saying and doing it right. Just by hiring even Chris Tabor, I don't think Bear fans realize what kind of special teams coach you're getting under a disciple under the Dave Tobe tree, who got a bad rap in Cleveland. Well, my uncle is in Cleveland, does games there. Couldn't speak any highly of any other coach, including Harry Heiston, about Tabor and what the Bears are getting in this guy and what a tremendous asset he will be to the organization. To me, that right there is all three phases covered, coaching-wise. Then the talent there. So, Dan, Bear fan Dan, I salute you for the stats, but I'm telling you on paper and the direction and the talent and the personnel and really and what I see in a dumbed-down offense and how that quarterback was able to play in regards to what it is I know Matt Nagy is going to be bringing, that aggressive run-pass option, spread philosophy, all the things I begged for. Just bring Tariq Cohen on a jet sweep and run counter backside. Make that linebacker false step and let Jordan Howard run through there. Block it solid if you have to. Just let that it's going to happen now. And I don't, X's and O's wise, I feel confident more so than I have ever with the Chicago Bears. So leadership wise, quarterback wise, I think this is a really, I don't think you could have had a better offseason than the Bears have.
So I got a write-in question from our producer. He wants you to answer better analyst, John Fox or Jay Cutler.
I can see Chris Armstrong turning the radio down right now. Just so hard to hear and memorialize those sounds for Bears fans. It's a dying sound. It's almost like duck hunting to call the ducks in, for God's sake.
It's not even that.
Jay Cutler, I'm excited. Has he accepted that position with Fox? Not yet?
No.
So I know it's been offered, apparently. I thought Charles Davis mentioned something on a radio show that the expectation is going to be offered. So, again, but I would be excited about Jay Cutler, the analyst, the color commentator. I wasn't expecting Tony Romo to be what he was. Some people found it annoying with Tony Romo calling out plays and what they're going to do. For me, I absolutely loved it. I enjoyed a Tony Romo broadcast because he called it out. I have famous audio of that Packers game. I'm pissed that I didn't bring it up tonight, of Tony Romo calling out Dowell Loggins and his offense and not putting the kid in. It made no sense. It wasn't a fit, to his words, paraphrasing. You know, Mike Glennon just isn't a fit in what you're trying to do here. And he was just honest and knew the game of football. I mean, Jay is what's going to be interesting with his personality. So I would be excited about Cutler and hearing him on a broadcast to hear his personality.
Well, we're going to be able to watch Cutler on reality TV very, very soon.
Oh, yippee. I can't wait.
Yes, his wife's new reality TV show, I believe it's coming out in the next couple of months.
I know you're going to be watching it, Bears Girl. So you're going to be...
Absolutely.
You're going to be our goat. We should have a segment in Bears 100 Proof. Bears Girls update. Strictly Cavalieri. So what happened this week in the show? got to be under 40 seconds to sum it all up.
Yeah, if I can't keep you to 40 seconds, there's no way I'm going to keep a Cuddy segment to 40 seconds. But it is Bears Hour Live and 45 minutes. I want your final thoughts before we wrap it up with Barfly comments and an update on our shows.
Listen, guys, I'm not blowing smoke. I've been doing this for a long time, and I've never felt more confident in a coaching staff expressing the right attitude, the ability to tap into the spirit of a young football player and a young team and put it in the right direction to be successful. We've never had a first-round quarterback drafted in the top five that has had the aggressive, young offensive coach who wants to succeed, who wants to win, and is promising that he's going to play the best football players on Sundays. To me, that is all I can ask for, and I am going to be so excited to cover it at Bears Barroom and to break it all down on the tape as well as on the shows. And here on Bears 100 Proof, every Monday night after games, we're going to break it all down. I'm so excited because I really feel in my heart that this is a season of change.
So we are... Were you done? Sorry, Phil, I couldn't hear you.
I just wanted to thank Matt. I mean, Matt. Math Bomb.
You
Kent
always
Platty.
Call
I always
him Matt.
Math Bomb. Kent Platty for coming on, Kent. I apologize. I do always call you Matt for Math Bomb. I don't know why, but it's stuck in my head.
Yeah, and names and geography. We've established this. Not your
yeah, I was learning about Canadian history today. BG gave me a background. I was curious, did they take it over from the Indians with the pilgrims coming over? Do they have a
pop
Thanksgiving?
Pop quiz tomorrow. Study hard.
So, great job by him coming on tonight. And Barfly showing up, showing out, defending the truth, defending honor, integrity, and compassion are my key terms. If you don't have empathy, integrity, and compassion, then you're not a human being. And I think in today's society, we deal with a lot of tough talk and not enough praise and compassion. So I just want to thank the Barflies for bringing that compassion and less dramatic tough talk.
So I want our listeners to know that we are back on Wednesday with a brand new 100 Proof. And while you're waiting for that, head over to bearsbarroom.com to read a brand new article from The Tooch on how the Bears can win the NFC North. We're also working on a couple special edition shows, our summer schedule, and some other exciting barroom initiatives we will be sharing with you over on Twitter and at bearsbarroom.com very, very soon. Want to close the show with your comments as always. Bears fan Dan says perhaps this Bears draft will be ultimately the best since 1983. Trey Busy says, I've been trying to figure out how the hell Javon Wims went in the 7th round. Gaines Report says, Kevin White is gonna surprise. Trey Busy says, expletive, Kevin White, in my opinion, if she shows up, great. If not, who cares?
Busy never lets you down. Every time you read these comments, there are a few Barflies that always make me chuckle aloud. Trey always gets me.
I'm sure Trey will have more to say about Kevin White tomorrow on Steak and Whiskey. John Santucci says, Roquan is faster than most safeties. Trey Biz says, Mel Tucker said Smith was the fastest linebacker he's ever coached. Oso 54 was in the house and he said, Phil, give me a shout out.
I got a shout out. Oso 54. Is that cousin Heidi? Oso 54? No?
No, that's her nickname, but that's not her. Oso 54 is an actual Barfly. And Heidi is also in the chat room tonight.
Well, shout out Heidi for loving every song I've created, Heidi. So I've got some more songs in the works that are going to be great. as we led the show for some bag milk, I put a smile on BG's face, guys, because she was fired up. Not only with Aldo, the super producer, but a couple of fraudulent fools out there got her all amped up. So I'm glad bag milk came back. Canadian bag history milk right there.
Always brings a smile on this Victoria Day long weekend. It is a holiday up there in Canada.
It's a holiday. Victoria Day. Shout out to Canada.
There you go.
And Oso right. 54. Shout out to you. Thank you for checking in.
He is loving his shout out, so he said thank you. That wraps up this edition of Bears Hour Live, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We enjoy spending our Monday nights with you. We will see you all next week. Bye.
Ciao. Arrivederci. I love the barflies. I love the barflies. Barflies unite. Three shots for Aldo.
No, Aldo's had enough to drink.
Ha ha ha.